All right, Thursday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. Be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Let me get over here to the chat real quick. There we are. All right, we'll hop into everything plane crash in just a second, but just a couple of things off of the pregame in case we get lost in the crash for the rest of the show. Tulsi Gabbard's confirmation hearing, both Tulsi and Cash Patel. And RFK, again, was doing his second time around, or maybe it was this second time that I saw him go through or whatever. Maybe it was yesterday. I'm not sure. It's hard to keep track now with all these confirmation hearings. And they all go through twice. They go through two rounds. So I don't know if RFK was from yesterday or whatever. But anyway, so there's more on all of it. With Tulsi Gabbard real quick, Susan Collins asking her, there's been reports of you meeting with the leaders of Hezbollah. First of all, how would Tulsi Gabbard ever meet with the leaders of Hezbollah? And who was the ones who put out the stories? The people who are claiming that they're stories. What they do is simply say it to some media outlet like Politico and say, you know, there's a rumor out there. Just you have Adam Schiff call up Politico and say, there's a rumor out there that Tulsi Gabbard met with Hezbollah. So Politico, via unnamed sources, says that via unnamed sources, we have received information that Tulsi Gabbard at some time in the past has met with Hezbollah. Then Adam Schiff will ask her, I've heard reports of you meeting with Hezbollah. Well, he's the one who filed the report. He's the one who reported it to the media outlet. That's what they do. This is all that it is. Obviously, there's no way she ever could have ever met with Hezbollah. But anyway, so you just saw that. And of course, Susan Collins has to ask her that. Why would Susan Collins ask that? And I know that Tulsi's going to get confirmed. It's going to be narrow. Patel will be confirmed. I got some minor criticisms on their performance, but overall, they did good. And then you have Strahan talking to Caroline Leavitt about, what if the people, you know, they've said they've given everybody, all the 2 million federal workers, till February 6th to decide whether or not they want to stay employed or not. If they don't want to stay employed, they still get paid all the way through September with benefits. But otherwise, they're fired, especially if they don't want to come into work. So, Strahan, imagine being so devoid of integrity and human dignity and so married to propaganda that you ask the White House press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, what if those people are doctors and scientists? How does a doctor not come into work? How would a scientist actually perform their job at home? Imagine being Michael Strahan. Again, Michael, stick to football. Really, stick to football. And again, I know that you are adherent to the globalist, leftist, bourgeois, elitist, propagandist talking points. And unless you do that, you're going to lose your job. So you are willing to grab your ankles. You will grab your ankles at any level so that you keep your job. You will do anything to keep your job. I understand that, Michael. But to ask an incoherent question like, what if some of the people you're firing or asking to resign because they refused to show up to work are doctors and scientists? How would that even work? How would a doctor work from home? How would a surgeon work from home, Michael? How would a Defense Department surgeon work from home, Michael? Even though this doesn't even apply to Defense Department people. But I'm just saying, how would that work? How would you phone in a brain surgery? Or a scientist? How would you work? Would you have your own lab at home? I mean, again, these people are so disgusting. So let's move on to all things plane crash here. Let me say hey to everybody in the chat real quick, then we'll go into all things plane crash. All right, Jules 21 Hours is on. Deb Plant is on. Lady Vu is on. Why Not Me is on. App Seeks Truth is on. Chopper Super Nut is on. Peg McGroin is on. Praise Holler is on. Sexy Pony is on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Malamute Lover is on. Truth Lover 2 is on. Order in the Court is on. Leon Fish Puppy's on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Let's see here. Supergirl 21. Supergirl 21 is on. Jana Jones is on. USA Abbey Girl is on. K4VMS is on. Wisconsin Honey Badger is on. Richard Perry 49 is on. Patriot Standards on. Snarl Barkley is on. 23 Justin Blake is on. Joanne's is on. Ever Eden is on. Just Fact is on. Granite 2468 is on. Milwaukee James is on. Coco Dominky is on. Mickey 44 is on. R Major 79 is on. Let me see here now. Ever Eden is on. JD Wool is on. Spaz 64 is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Let me see here. Naz Yaker is on. Let me see if anybody I missed here. Ron Schlag is on. All right, I think I got just Stefan Thomas is on. There's one I hadn't seen yet. Awethy is on. There we go. John Phillips, 1973 is on. R Major 79 is on. Appreciate you guys. Love each and every one of you. All right, so let's hop right to this now. Guys, we'll run these first three videos right in a row. We'll start with Roz Alert video. Then when you see a clip, that next clip is Walter Kirk video. Next clip after that is Citizen Free Press video, all very short, showing the crash, showing the air traffic control immediately following the crash, and radio transmission from DC plane saying that they don't see any survivors in the water. So we'll start off Roz Alert video. Everybody has seen this. This is the video of the crash. Play for me, Will.
The accident happened in the river. Both the helicopter and the plane crashed in the river. It's east of the approach end of runway 33. It was probably out in the middle of the river. I just saw a fireball and then it was just gone. So I haven't seen anything since they hit the river, but it was a CRJ and a helicopter that hit, I would say maybe a half mile off the approach end of 33.
Now, as Tom pointed out,
two victims with me. Do you have a count of how many people were in this plane who I'm looking for? I have no viable survivors at this point.
I do not have a count yet. I will get back to you on that one.
DC Battalion Fire G3. We have command set up on the DC side of the river. 5530 Arnold Avenue Southwest. Our firefighters are reporting two souls out of the water and on board their boat. We're trying to get some information about the airframe and a tail number if you have it, and a possibility of how many souls you have on board.
DC Battalion Chief, I got you. It's supposed to be a CRJ regional jet versus a helicopter. When I get back with the, I'll get back to you with the souls on board. And that's how it's playing in a second.
Command tail number November 709 Papa Sierra.
All right, so that's just some raw footage. Now, the approach to this thing is all of us over the last 5 years of 15 days to flatten the curve have all been changed, all red-pilled. All of us are suspicious sons of guns. Now, nobody knows any answers. Tom, are you saying you have no suspicion? Oh, I got lots of suspicion.
Yeah.
Okay, I got lots and lots of suspicion, you know. They had remote control Black Hawk technology long time ago. Yep. Long time ago. So, you know, what, you know, again, now once the families of the Black Hawk pilots come out, that's when people need to start backing off of conspiracy. If you have the Black Hawk families and they're like, you know what, you know, it's the same thing with Sandy Hook and things like that, where it got to be real conspiratorial. It was a shooting. Now, how it was reported and how it actually transpired. But there was true loss of life and people who, you know, and again, same thing with even like Darren Chauvin. People were saying he was a crisis actor. It's not a crisis actor, folks. He was a cop for 20 some odd years with a long history. When was he installed as a crisis actor? 20 years before the incident. So again, we have to watch going too conspiratorial, watch the facts come out, have a measure of trust in Donald Trump. You're saying you don't trust him totally? No, I don't trust anybody totally. I trust Jesus totally. You know, when you mean he had Trump and he had, you know, dispatched it out to Caroline Leavitt about the drones. I don't really believe what they said about the drones, just so you know, that they were all approved flights. What does that even mean? Approved by who and what for? Okay, so they were, you know, again, they're not going to expose everything and they can't expose DOD ops or CIA ops. They are now the DOD and they are now CIA. So they're going to have to do some coverage, not to, you know, threaten national security or cause some sort of outrage or whatever. But anyway, so we're just going to have to weigh these things out as we go. What do I believe right now? I don't know. I can tell you this has never happened ever before that I'm aware of. I mean, I know there's been collisions, but this one is weird. It's very weird. All right, so let's just go back and forth with the weirdness of it and the facts. Shall we? Is everybody with me? Okay. All right, Grant Stitchfield video. The Black Hawk makes sudden zigzags and a sudden altitude drop right before the crash. Play for me, Will.
Now, I can't tell you that the helicopter aimed for the plane. I don't know that. But I do have common sense. And common sense will tell you, nothing adds up here. This is where it gets bad. You see the zigzags here that, to me, don't make a lot of sense. It goes from 800 feet at 42 minutes past the hour and 47 seconds. And in about 30 seconds, it will drop to that 400 feet level. This is the most troubling of all. Now they're going to ask the helicopter to return to base.
Go around 3,000, Blue Streak 5347.
Blackjack 3, can you return to base?
No answer.
Blackjack 3, proceed directly to Glebe. I need you to land. I need you to land immediately. Can you go to Dulles for a few minutes?
It's not saying climb altitude to avoid the plane. It's not saying, do you see the plane? It's saying return to base. That is not normal for a Black Hawk helicopter and the pilot to be told, I need you to return to base. There's no way a helicopter is not going to see that plane.
And again, on this, it is complicated because when you're dealing with, actually side by side that for me, guys, that gives some context to what I'm talking about. This is what you're looking at when you're flying into D.C. This is not like flying into Des Moines, Iowa. This is not like flying into a rural airport where there's no lights but you. You have to discern, and we're going to get into this with the Jesse Waters video next. You have to discern what it is they're telling you to look at, for one thing. But when you're told to return to base, if I read the radio transmission correctly from Grant Stitchfield's video, three times and there's no answer, that's weird, okay? It's weird. It's weird. Does somebody have a health crisis on flight? A lot of these people are vaccinated, you know, and you're like, Tom, you're going out in the left field. I mean, but we've had many, many in-flight problems with people who have been vaccinated. And a lot of these people were forced to vaccinate to keep their jobs. And a lot of it was constant. A lot of the angst about it with people that were forced to vaccinate, that then have to be up in the air, and they're the only ones that can fly that craft. Kind of a problem if you stroke out. And I don't know that's what happened, but he was told to return to base and doesn't even answer the radio. That's weird. If you go remote control conspiracy theory, then a remote control is not going to answer. It's weird. It's very weird. All right, so let's go now to more rational sort of. And again, I'm not saying that Grant Stitchfield's irrational because I feel the same way he does. Right now, what I feel is, it's weird. Let's hear the explanations. All the explanations. And under Trump, we'll probably get them. This was a Biden administration thing, and it's so wacky, too. AOC is blaming Donald Trump for the crash. because of his freeze and giving everybody the February 6th ultimatum. Of which, imagine, again, being so devoid of human dignity, married to propagandist talking points that you will do anything to be approved by the globalist leftist bourgeois elitist and be invited to their gatherings in Davos and Glasgow. You'll do anything to be invited to London or any other place or Washington, D.C. cocktail parties. You'll say anything. Like, Trump's responsible for this because of his February 6th ultimatum to federal employees. Not one FAA person has resigned yet, so how could it be his fault? And in this tower, which you're about to find out, there's already one third down in personnel. It has nothing to do with Donald Trump. And why did, again, if this was such a calamity, when we had such an FAA problem, AOC and Democratic Party pundits, why didn't you had 4 years to fix the FAA under Pete Buttigieg? You had 4 years to fix it, and you had nothing. Absolutely nothing but hire more DEI people. And Reagan International is pretty much nationally known for close encounters. Near collisions is what I'm saying. All right, Jesse Waters video. Let's look at, here's a licensed pilot, a helicopter pilot, talking, an experienced licensed helicopter pilot speaking to Jesse Waters. Play for me, Will.
Amber, you flew helicopters, and you listen to air traffic controllers when you land and take off. Here's the air traffic controller moments before the crash when he asks the chopper pilot if they can see the plane. Listen. Now, as a former chopper pilot, how do you think that communication was between the helicopter and air traffic control?
It was a failure of communication. I said this from the very beginning. I was an Army helicopter pilot for almost 8 years. I've got well over 1,500 hours. That communication between ATC and the helicopter flight crew was unfortunately ended up being deadly. It is clear that the helicopter crew claimed that they had visual on the incorrect aircraft. But if you go a little bit deeper, there was zero context to what ATC said. They did not say, do you have the air traffic at your 11 o'clock that's about to cross in front of your flight path? Not once. And so that may work, having a singular, do you see the traffic in front of you? In the middle of the desert in Arizona where there's no other traffic. In a place like the National Capital Region where the traffic is intense, where there's lights everywhere that can be distracting and as well, seen as a different aircraft, you cannot be giving those types of ATC calls, which are clearly confusing and sadly resulted in this absolutely deadly crash because of this miscommunication that we've seen.
All right, so you believe the air traffic controllers were poor communicators and those communications were inefficient and inadequate for what was happening in the sky. In your experience and your understanding of these air traffic controllers, there's understaffing, there's a DEI problem there. Do you think that could have been a factor?
I do. And where is the standard? When the reports came out that the tower was likely understaffed by a third, if not more, what is the standard? What percentage are they allowed to go down to cease operations until they are able to be a functioning tower? Because clearly they weren't. This is a high stress operation. The stakes are incredibly high. And who in a leadership decision decided that they were able to operate a tower at that level of manning? It's mismanagement. The DEI aspect needs to get looked into it because it focuses on people's feelings rather than people's lives. Merit is what allows people to be put in these positions to be the best person for the job. Just as we saw in your opening, where you talked about DEI pulling in these people to make other people feel better at the risk of other people's lives. When people say DEI is deadly, it is not because it's some catchy phrase. It is because the reality of what happens when you change the standards, you lower the standards to put people in these positions in order for them to get the job, and otherwise would never be able to get these jobs.
All right. Amber, thank you so much for your insight and analysis. And again, we're waiting.
All right, so there you go. Just a couple of things. ATC to flight crew. They give the flight crew, when they're talking to the Black Hawk pilot, Black Hawk crew, they say, do you have the flight in sight? They're supposed to give altitude, and they're supposed to give a heading like 11 o'clock. They didn't either. So immediately you do jump to the DEI possibility. Donald Trump has not just jumped to that possibility. He's lock, stock, and barrel saying that it's DEI. And then he's saying that very convincingly right now, and I'm wondering if he already knows something that none of us know, but she alluded to the fact that they're down in staffing by a third or more. So they are 30 to 50% understaffed in the tower at Reagan National. Reagan freaking National by a third in the tower. Air traffic controllers down. And they didn't get, and here you had in this situation, they give the incorrect vision. They give the incorrect instructions, no altitude, and should have told them, look to your 11 o'clock because there's multiple other lights and multiple other flights to look at. How can you just simply say, do you see this flight? How would they know? So again, somebody obviously dropped the ball here. All right, Matt Wallace video. Breaking, a new video reveals how much time the helicopter had to divert. Play for me. All right, mute that thing, guys, and then play it side by side if you would. Listen, something's up here. I mean, again, it can be incompetence. I'm saying something's up. It's not merely an accident. Look at how this is not slowed down or anything. Look at the cars going by. If anything, it's sped up. Look at the cars going by. It's not slow. Look at the amount of time there is to divert this crash. Somebody, you could have diverted this crash with the helicopter or the airplane. All the airplane needed to do was just go ahead and gain back altitude again. This whole thing is averted. Look at the time. Just let it roll back to the beginning again, Will. Look at the amount of time here. There is either, as always, you hear this all the time on this podcast, there is either something nefarious going on or galactic incompetence, just like Democratic Party. It's always galactic incompetence or something nefarious. Something is going on here. There's no way for this not to be averted. That's why you never see things like this happen with a military aircraft colliding with a civilian airliner. It just doesn't happen. Look at all the time. Absolutely ridiculous. Should never have happened. All right, let's go to the next one. Next order video breaking. President Trump has just ordered an assessment of the damage done by damage done to aviation by Biden administration DEI policies. This was pre-crash. This is before this ever happened. Play it for me.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Second for your signature, we have a presidential memorandum titled Immediate Assessment of Aviation Safety. In light of the damage done to aviation safety by the Biden administration's DEI and woke policies, what this presidential memorandum orders is for your Secretary of Transportation and FAA Administrator, in this case, Acting FAA Administrator, to basically ensure that we are actively undoing all of that damage, that we are assessing how much damage was done, and that we're ensuring that people hired within the FAA, in keeping with your memorandum of January 21st, are only the most outstanding capable people for the jobs that they are being hired into.
In other words, competence.
Yes, sir. Elevating competence over everything else instead of the DEI policies that were pursued by the Biden administration.
I think everyone understands that. And Obama.
Yes.
Both of them. Okay, but Biden much worse. Not even a contest. What they've done is just crazy in so many other ways.
Okay. There you go. Now, that, of course, was pre-crash. That was part of his initial mass signings of EOs. How did he know? Because they knew the FAA is a mess because of 4 years of Pete Buttigieg and Joe Biden hiring anybody and everybody, because their main focus was not on excellence or merit. Will doesn't care. Aaron doesn't care. I don't care. I don't care what color you are. I don't care what sex you are. I don't even care if you're trans as a air traffic controller. If you're brilliant, I don't care. But they did. They couldn't have too many Asians. They certainly couldn't have too many whites and then just go down the ladder. Certainly can't have too many white women. You've got to hire people of color or people who are homosexual or non-binary or trans or whatever, because it doesn't matter to them. Excellence, what matters to them are demographics. Well, you know, I don't know about you or you know, Aaron or Will or anybody else, but when I'm flying, I want excellence. They were doing DUI as pilots too. You know, you need to be I don't care if you're the most, if you are the best pilot and you're a 5'2" female, fantastic, go fly it. But if they put the 5'2" female there because they want a certain quota of females, then you are disqualifying more qualified applicants. Could that be what's caused this crash where you have all that time to fix it? And Aaron, you know what? Holster that video for me from Matt Wallace that shows the elongated amount of time. Just holster that for me. So
got it.
Whenever I'm talking about that, or you can just guess and put it side by side.
Okay.
Because that should have been prevented. That lots and lots of times. But did they have the best person in there? No. What did they have? They were going by demographics. They weren't going by excellence. They weren't going by qualifications. And if you're not going by qualifications and you're going by demographics and sexual orientation, then if you have to have, say you have to have, 15% women, you have to have 15% trans, 15% homosexuals. Then right there, there could be 45%. You could be missing 45% of qualified applicants that are more qualified than those people. More qualified. And you are not allowing them those jobs because of their skin color, which again makes you the racist. If you're a DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion advocate, then you are a racist yourself. And you are excluding the most qualified people for the sake of somebody who's gay getting the job. I don't care who you're sleeping with. Are you the best air traffic controller available? That's who needs to be hired, no matter what sex, color, or religion you are. All right, President Trump put out this on Truth Social. The airplane was on a perfect and routine line of approach to the airport. The helicopter was going straight at the airplane for an extended period of time, as we've already illustrated. It is a clear night. The lights on the plane were blazing. Why didn't the helicopter go up or down or turn at any time? Anytime it could have turned. Why didn't the control tower tell the helicopter what to do instead of asking it if it saw the plane? I mean, they're the ones on. If you're the air traffic controller, you're the one who can see actual altitude. Everybody else is looking out there. You are actually seeing altitude. And Donald Trump's right. Any turn whatsoever, and it's a complete miss. Any turn whatsoever. Aaron, put the video back on for me. Any turn whatsoever, it's a complete miss. Look at all this time. 1,001, 1,002. Don't worry, I'm not going to do it the whole time. 1,003. How long did it take me to say? I'm not going to do it for the whole time. I still have said it. I'm not going to do it for the whole time. Look at 1,000, 1,004, 1,005. Any turn whatsoever.
Yeah.
And it's not even a close miss. Now if you start turning, it might get close. They could have told the airplane to gain altitude. No. Instead, you get this. Nobody does anything. It's highly, highly suspicious. Again, it's either nefarious or galactic ineptitude. The galactic incompetence. All right, let's go to the next one, Will. Real America's Voice. FAA admits they have hired those with psychiatric problems. That makes you feel good, doesn't it? And by the way, I'm flying in 2 weeks.
Oh. I'm not.
Yeah. Isn't that great? I'm flying to Vegas in 2 weeks. So glad this has come up now. And as I hate flying to begin with.
It's building your faith.
Yeah, absolutely. Don't worry, I won't be missing any prayer times between now and then. All right, Real America's Voice video. FAA admits they hired those with psychiatric problems. That makes you feel better, doesn't it? Play it for me.
I do want to point out that various articles that appeared prior to my entering office, and here's one. The FAA's diversity push includes focus on hiring people with severe intellectual and psychiatric disabilities. That is amazing. And then it says FAA says people with severe disabilities are most underrepresented segment of the workforce, and they want them in, and they want them. They can be air traffic controllers. I don't think so. This was in January 14th, so that was a week before I entered office. They put a big push to put diversity into the FAA's program. Then another article, the Federal Aviation Administration, this was before I got to office, recently, second term. The FAA is actively recruiting workers who suffer severe intellectual disabilities, psychiatric problems, and other mental and physical conditions under a diversity and inclusion hiring initiative spelled out on the agency's website. Can you imagine? These are people that are, I mean, actually, their lives are shortened because of the stress that they have. Brilliant people have to be in those positions. And
All right, well, keep that one loaded because I'm going to have you play the first 30 seconds of that video again. Listen to the FAA admits they have hired those with psychiatric problems and the severely disabled because they're underrepresented. Underrepresented how? I mean, why does anybody have to be represented in an air traffic controller career? In the profession of air traffic controller, why does any demographic have to be represented? Again, this is for brilliant multitaskers, male, female, gay, black, white, doesn't matter. The best of the best. They used to have a test. Everybody took it. The best of the best got hired. Isn't that fair? That fair to you, Will?
Yeah.
If I went in there and they had 10 job openings and 25 people applied and I was, and only to take the top 10 and I was number 12, I would understand. I didn't make it. What's wrong with that? That's the way it should be. It shouldn't be. We need white men. No, I mean, I'm as against that as I am. We need black men. What is underrepresentation? You're worried about representation with air traffic controllers and pilots? And how about airplane mechanics too? You got to have a certain amount of black people, a certain amount of gay people. Does that mean that you're getting the best? No, it means that you're excluding the best. That the best could be gay, but they may not be. But instead, what you're saying is, I'm going to take the gay guy who may be less qualified and not nearly as good as the non-gay guy because gay people are underrepresented. Okay, if you do that at McDonald's, which you shouldn't do it then either, that's one thing. I might get a crappy Big Mac. Here you do it, people die, 67 of them. Freaking dead. And we don't know the reason yet, but I'm just saying something happened here and it was some sort of ineptitude. It was some sort of galactic incompetence somewhere along the lines. Play that first 30 seconds for me, Will.
I do want to point out that various articles that appeared prior to my entering office, and here's one. The FAA's diversity push includes focus on hiring people with severe intellectual and psychiatric disabilities.
Back to me. Severe intellectual and psychiatric disabilities as air traffic controllers? That's like saying let's hire them as cops too. Let's hire crazy people as police. Let's arm them, shall we? If you do that with a cop, you may end up with one or two dead people before that cop has killed himself. Here, you get 70 dead in a day. In a day. Let's hire people with severe psychiatric and mental problems. Because they're underrepresented. Here's the thing. Get ready for this, Aaron. In air traffic control, they should be underrepresented.
Yeah.
There should be none.
Yeah.
There should be zero. I don't care if you're fat. I don't care if you're skinny. I don't care if you're male, female, gay, black, white, or anything else. As long as you're brilliant and you can control planes.
Yep.
You can be a nerd. You can be a stud. You can be a bodybuilder. I don't care what you are. As long as you're brilliant and you can control planes, that's what really counts. All right, well, we're going to go on to the next one now. All right, Daily Caller video. Here's Trump on what he thinks of former Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. Play for me.
FAA website shows that the agency's guidance on diversity hiring were last updated on March 23rd of 22. They wanted to make it even more so. And then I came in, and I assume maybe this is the reason. The FAA, which is overseen by Secretary Pete Buttigieg, a real winner. That guy's a real winner. Do you know how badly everything's run since he's run this Department of Transportation? He's a disaster. He was a disaster as a mayor. He ran his city into the ground, and he's a disaster now. He's just got a good line of bull. The Department of Transportation, his government agency charged with regulating civil aviation. Well, he runs it. 45,000 people, and he's run it right into the ground with his diversity. So I had to say that it's terrible. Then it's...
Yeah, you can't fix it. AOC blames Donald Trump. All the leftist pundits are saying, you guys blame Biden for everything, so we're blaming Trump for everything. Well, you know what? We blame Biden for what was absolutely his fault. Let's just use Abbey Gate as an example. When you know you got a Unabomber coming 12 hours in advance... And your CENTCOM Commander McKenzie, your Lloyd freaking Austin, and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Mark White Rage Milley, and Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. You do nothing about it. Let the guy come. And then military command refuses to give the sniper who has the Unabomber in his sights, refuses to give him the okay to shoot. And then 13 American soldiers die at the Abbey Gate for no reason at Harmy Kazide Airport that, by the way, the Taliban offered to cordon off for us. They gave it to us, and Biden turned it down. It's almost like they wanted to kill American soldiers right before he surrendered $86 billion worth of high-tech American military equipment to the People's Liberation Army of Afghanistan, the former Taliban. Weird, isn't it, how this all works? Kind of weird. And Pete Buttigieg, absolute freaking disaster. AOC's blaming Donald Trump. How in the world could it be Donald Trump's fault? Not one FAA person has lost their job. Not one FAA person, either leadership or rank and file, has resigned. None. Not one person. Is it really 9:44 already?
Yeah.
Holy crap, man. Man, oh, man. I thought I'd for sure get to other things other than this. I might. I got a shot. I got a small shot. All right, so moving on here. Let's go to the next one. Breaking 9/11. Is that where we're at, Will?
Yes, sir.
Make sure I'm in the right spot. Breaking 9/11. Reporter, I'm trying to figure out how you can come to the conclusion right now that diversity had something to do with this crash. Here's Trump's response. Play it for me.
Today, blamed the diversity elements, but then told us that you weren't sure that the controllers made any mistake. You then said perhaps the helicopter pilots were the ones who made the mistake.
It's all under investigation.
I understand that. That's why I'm trying to figure out how you can come to the conclusion right now that diversity had something to do with this crash.
Because I have common sense, okay? And unfortunately, a lot of people don't. We want brilliant people doing this. This is a major chess game at the highest level. When you have 60 planes coming in during a short period of time and they're all coming in different directions, and you're dealing with very high-level computer work and very complex computers. And one of the other things I will tell you is that the systems that were built, I was going to rebuild the entire system, and then we had an election that didn't turn out the way it should have.
All right, so there you go. He says we want brilliant people as air traffic controllers. Would everybody agree? Would everybody shout amen to that? Because otherwise, this wouldn't have ever happened. 1001, 1002, helicopter to the left, plane to the right. But all the time, where's the competency? Where is it? Where's the competency? This can be avoided. Every time can be avoided. Aaron, do you still have that information you flashed me earlier? Because I'd like to have that now. Just keep flowing this video back and forth.
Yep.
TCAS, Aaron's a pilot in training. He had this on the Cessna that Aaron was flying. Yeah, you're wondering, can Aaron do everything? It appears so. So TCAS, or Traffic Collision Avoidance System, is on every plane, correct, Aaron?
Not every, but most.
But these two.
Oh, yeah, okay, absolutely.
These two.
Yeah.
Is on the airliner,
yeah,
right?
And the helicopter.
In the helicopter. Yeah. Is an aircraft safety system designed to reduce... And again, TCAS, Traffic Collision Avoidance System, is on both of these aircraft.
Yes.
Both of them. Is an aircraft safety system designed to reduce the incidence of mid-air collisions between aircraft. Once other aircraft are detected, TCAS tracks the relative position, altitude, and speed. This information is vital for calculating potential of collision risk. How could this happen? I understand if it's some sort of... You have these different close calls. I'm calling them close encounters. You know, where you almost have a plane go into, you know, the track of another plane as it's landing. This is not close. These are a long ways away. This is very avoidable. All of us have seen the videos where you have a near collision on the runway between one landing and one that's about to cross. Like, halt, stop, that. Okay, that's one thing. This? Where's the TCAS? Where's the tower? Where's the air traffic controllers? Where was the altitude? Where was the altitude shouted out, communicated by the air traffic controller? Do you see this aircraft at your 11 o'clock by the air traffic controller? Tom, you don't know what you're talking about. No, I'm going off of what I've read and watched already from experts. How does this happen? Look at all this time. They're in communication. Both these aircraft are in communication with the same tower. How does this happen? Don't know. Do we have one of these people who was mentally and psychologically insufficient to be hired and was anyway? Which is the TCA was very, very adamant about making sure that they hire people with severe psychiatric and mental problems because they're underrepresented in the air traffic controller demographic. That's fantastic. Is this how this happened? All right, let's go to the next one, Will. Kyle Becker video, is that where we're at?
Yes, sir.
All right. There are bodies still being taken out of the water after the plane crash, and CNN is trying to blame Donald Trump. So the reporter asked Donald Trump, how could you make these assertions that DEI is the problem? Well, how does CNN make these assertions? Play for me.
Mary, I have one more question for you. Look, it's January 29th. We are just 9 days out from a presidential transition, an administrative transition. The FAA administrator resigned at the end of the Biden administration. So there is no permanent confirmed FAA administrator right now. This is going to be a time when there's going to be a lot of public communication.
Right.
And a lot of investigation of what happened here. What do you anticipate this transition period is going to mean for what happens today and tomorrow and in the coming days as we find out what happened here?
When you see the people I'm going to show you in a minute who are in charge of the FAA, you're going to thank God they did resign. When I show you who was actually running the FAA in just a minute. So here you have CNN saying FAA administrator, the head of the FAA director resigned prior to Trump's inauguration, as they always do, because he knew he was going to be fired because he's a DEI moron who's not even qualified to run the DEA. Wait till I show you the hearing for the FAA director, which all of you have probably already seen. You've probably seen it today because it was played on a loop over and over and over again. Plus, we played it on this podcast at least twice. And she says, and we don't have anybody confirmed yet. What does that have to do with anything? There is an acting FAA director who's probably way better than the former FAA director under Joe Biden, who's completely unqualified for the job. Benny Johnson video, President Trump doubles down on firing any federal employees who do not return to office. You're like, what does this have to do with this crash? Well, it's focused on FAA here. Play it for me.
You've offered over 2 million federal workers the option to resign immediately. Right. There are 50,000 FAA employees. Does this tragedy give you reason to reconsider that option of resignations because of concerns about staffing issues?
No.
If
people aren't coming to work, if they're not going to come into the office and report as per the date that you know what it is, everybody knows what the date is, it's been very well documented, then they're going to be terminated.
You're not concerned, though, that if many people take that offer, there could be shortages that could lead to safety
issues.
Then they'll
be replaced with very competent people. We have a lot of competent people in this country.
Imagine the stupidity of this question. You're saying the people who just caused this crash might resign. Are you worried about that? Not really. I'm fine that they resigned. I'm absolutely fine. Now, let's look at this. Here is the FAA brilliant director that no longer is in place that CNN is so concerned that he resigned. This is the brilliant FAA director that just resigned 9 days ago. And wokeness video, it says, why the H does it matter what skin color or gender identity our air traffic controllers are? Here's the FAA director. Play for me.
Hi, I'm Brad Mims, Deputy Administrator at the Federal Aviation Administration. We are looking for the best and brightest to join us as air traffic controllers. We need a diverse group of air traffic controllers to bring distinct perspectives to handle the ever-changing aerospace landscape. I'm calling on students and alumni from HBCUs, Hispanic-serving institutions, and tribal colleges to apply now to become air traffic controllers. I don't want anyone interested to miss out on this amazing career opportunity. Make sure you complete your full application during our application window. The short application window ends on May 8th. We need a diverse, next-generation air traffic workforce with people from all backgrounds. So apply now.
All right, so sorry about that. It wasn't the actual head of the FAA. It's the director, the deputy administrator. So that's the vice president, basically, in other words. Did Aaron or Will, just as my witness, did you hear anything about we're hiring the best?
No.
How about excellent? Did you ever hear the word excellent?
No.
No. What word did you hear over and over again?
Diverse.
Diverse. What does that have to do with controlling air traffic? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Now, here's a good one for you. And I know probably all of you have seen this one already. But you know what? It's actually soothing to watch because it explains how things like this happen. Did it happen for this reason? We don't know yet. But it explains how things like this could happen. Here's Biden's pick to lead the Federal Aviation Administration. Play for me, Will.
So, Mr. Washington, can you quickly tell me what airspace requires an ADS-B transponder?
Not sure I can answer that question right now.
That's okay. We'll just keep going. So that's a pretty important part. So what are the six types of special use airspace that protect this national security that appear on FAA charts?
Sorry, Senator, I cannot answer that question.
Okay, so what are the operational limitations of a pilot flying under basic med?
Senator, I'm not a pilot, so...
But obviously you'd ever see the Federal Aviation Administration, so any idea what those restrictions are under basic med, quickly?
Well, some of the restrictions, I think, would be high blood pressure. Some of them would be...
It's more like how many passengers per airplane, how many pounds in different categories, and what altitude you can fly under. So, and then amount of knots. It's under 250 knots. So it's not have anything to do with blood pressure. So can you tell me what causes an aircraft to spin or to stall?
Again, Senator, I'm not a pilot.
Okay, let's keep going. What are the three aircraft certifications the FAA requires as part of the manufacturing process? Quickly, please. Three aircraft certifications.
Again, what I would say to that is that one of my first priorities would be to fully implement that Certification Act and report
back. You know the three types, Mr. Washington? The three
no.
types? Okay. Yeah, that's type certificate, production certificate, and airworthiness certificate. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's just keep going, see if we can get lucky here. So can you tell me what the minimum separation distance is for landing and departing airliners during the daytime, Mr. Washington?
I don't want to guess on that, Senator.
Are you familiar with the difference between Part 107 and Part 44809 when it comes to unmanned aerial standards? Unmanned, like drones, are you familiar with the
yes,
difference?
Yes.
Okay. You know the difference between those two, Part 44809 and Part 107? Do you know the difference there?
No, I cannot.
That's okay.
This is the person running the FAA, if he got approved. I don't even know if he was or not, but I'm just saying, if he got approved and he saw his deputy director, if that was the actual administration 9 days ago, you're wondering, why in the world would this person ever even apply for this job? If you want the job, wouldn't you just have to be a pilot? And there's all sorts of pilots that are actually forced into retirement by age requirements. They would be great FAA directors. Why isn't that happen? Oh, because they're not the right color. Sorry. Or they're not the right sexual orientation. Or maybe they have a sexual orientation. Maybe they identify as male or female, so they're not qualified. Because we're trying to hire a diverse work group. That's real important for controlling aircraft, isn't it? All right, 9:56. We'll change subjects, finally. I have to show you this one. It's one of my favorite videos of the day. Hard right-hand turn. We're moving off of the that plane crash. Aaron, if you see anything big pop up, let me know. We'll put it on before the podcast ends. 10:15. That's where we're going. That's where we're going tonight. 10:15. I'm holding. I'm going to try. I got 10:19 last night. I almost made it. Going for 10:15 tonight. All right, man of memes video, again, taking a right-hand turn off of the aircraft story now. CBS was in the bag for the Bidens. This is brand new information via Dan Bongino, man of memes video, but it's Dan Bongino talking about Catherine Herridge and what she tried to report about Hunter Biden's laptop. Play it for me, Will.
This blew up yesterday on X. Here's Catherine Herridge on what she found in the Hunter Biden emails. Folks, it involves some pretty heavy racist kind of language. And apparently the media knew about this and the whole Hunter Biden episode and squashed it. That's pretty amazing because they were so busy calling you guys morons and racists, while they may have had some evidence of the contrary. Someone else. Check this out.
Once we got the laptop story on the morning news, I felt that there was so much there that we could still do. For example, in the text messages, there's unfortunately the use of the N-word, the liberal use of the N-word. And I thought this was worthy of a story, but I was told that it was not something that interested CBS News. Then I asked for a forensic review of the laptop, and we found that there were more than half a dozen emails that were likely used by Joe Biden. I thought that was a story. But the answer that came back was, well, we need to know what the content is of the emails. But that was going to be a years-long process. So there was no way. So there were a lot of reasons I was told not to do it, not to pursue it.
Can you imagine if that would have been, if the laptop was Eric Trump's or Don Jr.'s laptop in the possession of the FBI for over a year before you and I even knew about it, for all intents and purposes. Imagine if that was Don Jr.'s laptop and it had multiple uses of the N-word. The FBI would have released the entire, what would that be, Aaron, hard drive?
Yeah.
Hard drive to the Washington Post and had them all printed up.
Oh, yeah.
They would put the stars there, you know, just so everyone wouldn't actually use the word. But instead, Catherine Herridge reports that to CBS. And CBS News says, that's not a worthy story, that Hunter Biden was using the N-word multiple times. While Democrats call us racist. While the people refusing to report it are calling us racist. And there was a half a dozen emails from Joe Biden, she reported to CBS News, that would confirm that Hunter Biden and Joe Biden were collaborating on business interests, and that was also deemed to be a non-story by CBS. And CBS and all of these outlets still claim to be unbiased journalists, and we can just imagine what they would have done if that was Donald Trump or any of the Trump children. All right, let's move on to confirmation hearings here. Post-millennial video, Senator Collins, now this is Tulsi first, and then we're going Cash next. Senator Collins, have you ever knowingly met with members? I played this in the pregame, talked about it already, just in case anybody missed it. Play it for me.
As you know, there has been speculation in the press that you met with Hezbollah, a terrorist organization affiliated with Iran. Have you ever knowingly met with any members, leaders, or affiliates of Hezbollah?
No, and it is an absurd accusation.
One. Reported in the press, how? Reported in the press because Democrats told the press that. So the press, there's no evidence of it. It never happened. There's no evidence because it never happened. You just simply have Democrats say to the press, I've heard that Tulsi Gabbard met with leaders of Hezbollah. So now the press report it, and then the Democrats refer to the press report. It's happening in the press. Well, the only reason why it's happening in the press is because that's what you told the press, i.e. just like the whole Carter Page, just like the whole FISA warrant thing, everything where they used part of their justification for getting FISA warrants on Carter Page and wiretapping Trump Tower was press reports. They said, well, this is being reported in the press that Donald Trump is colluding with the Russians. Well, the people who are filing for the FISA warrants are the ones who told the press that. And then they refer to the press stories. This is how corrupt everything is. This is the real world, not the ideological world, the real world. All right, George video. Wow. Tulsi Gabbard immediately brought up the countless treasonous acts the deep state has committed against Donald Trump. Play it for me.
Here are just a few other examples. The American people elected Donald Trump as their president not once but twice. And yet the FBI and intelligence agencies were politicized by his opponents to undermine his presidency and falsely portray him as a puppet of Putin. Title I of FISA was used illegally to obtain a warrant to spy on Trump campaign advisor Carter Page, using a Clinton campaign-funded false dossier as their so-called evidence. Biden campaign advisor Tony Blinken was the impetus for the 51 former senior intelligence officials' letter dismissing Hunter Biden's laptop as disinformation specifically to help Biden win the election. Former DNI James Clapper lied to this committee in 2013, denying the existence of programs that facilitated the mass collection of millions of Americans' phone and internet records, yet was never held accountable. Under John Brennan's leadership, the CIA abused its power to spy on Congress, to dodge oversight, lied about doing it until he was caught, and yet has never been held responsible. Under Biden, the FBI abused its power for political reasons to try to surveil Catholics who attend traditional Latin Mass, labeling them as quote-unquote radical traditionalist Catholics. Personally, just 24 hours after I criticized Kamala Harris and her nomination, I was placed on a secret domestic terror watch list called Quiet Skies. Sadly, there are more examples. The bottom line is this: this must end.
So she, the reason why, see what happens when you're DNI, or under the Trump administration, this was revealed on Tucker Carlson, Trump, immediately, the first duty of the new DNI, Director of National Intelligence, she is commissioned to do a complete intel assessment. In other words, all of this gets flushed out. This is the list that she used. The whole collusion hoax using FISA warrants. There's so much to that, I could spend an hour talking about it. That's all going to get fleshed out. The reason why they don't want her in there is because she is going to reveal the criminal corruption of James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Rod Rosenstein, Robert Mueller, Peter Strzok, Lisa Page, all of them, and many, many others. Anthony Blinken orchestrating the 51 former intel chiefs saying that the Hunter Biden laptop was Russian disinformation. Using Dana Bash's ex-husband, CNN's Dana Bash's ex-husband, as one of the major collaborators in that operation. Clapper lying under oath that the NSA was not doing mass collection of your phone and email records and your search histories. And then you had John Brennan lying to Congress about spying on Congress. And then you had, or maybe I take that back. I don't know, but I'm lying about it. I wrote it down wrong. He was spying on Congress. That was proven. And then you have, of course, the FBI. There's so many things you go on the FBI over the last 5 years and 15 days to flatten the curve. But FBI's Latin Mass thing, where you have the FBI infiltrating Catholic churches to spy on people going to traditional Latin Masses because they're a threat to national security. And then, of course, you also have the school board terrorist watch list that Christopher Wray put together by Christopher Wray contacting the National School Board Association, asking them, it wasn't Christopher Wray, actually it was Merrick Garland, but Christopher Wray enforced it. Merrick Garland, the attorney general, contacts the NSA, National School Board Association, asks them, could you please write a letter to me complaining about how you're terrified of all these parents testifying at school board meetings so that we can create a list of these parents? 1984, baby, George Orwell. And then you have Tulsi Gabbard herself victimized by the deep state. And that's what they're scared of. They want to, Tulsi Gabbard's going to find out why exactly she was put on a no-fly list under Quiet Skies. Tulsi Gabbard, a 20-plus year military officer, former congresswoman, former presidential candidate. Why was she put on that? She was put on it a short time after she talked about the corruption of Hillary Rodham Clinton. And right after that, she's put on a terrorist watch list, where basically a no-fly list called Quiet Skies. She has to go through a special interrogation, a special security debriefing prior to getting on any flights. Tulsi Gabbard. She's going to find out who did that. They don't want that to happen. These people, listen, we talk a lot about people going to federal prison. There needs to be a whole, because you had to perjure yourself to do any of these things. You had to minimum perjure yourself. And by the way, even if they've been pardoned, they've been given that blanket pardon, preemptive pardon, what they call it now. Doesn't matter, because you still then, that's in some ways it's better, folks. In some ways it's better that they're pardoned, because then they can't plead the fifth. If they plead the fifth, they're committing a crime. And even if they don't plead the fifth and perjure themselves, the pardon doesn't cover that perjury. All right, so let's go to Kash Patel now. George video. Kash Patel just lectured ranking Democrat Durbin on how the FBI infiltrated January 6th. Play for me.
Well, let me inform you then. What it says is it raises an interrogatory asking why government resources were utilized. I've run resources and sources at the FBI. I've run sources overseas. It takes months for source developmental networks.
What resources were utilized a year in advance of planning?
That's the question I'm asking. And the Biden Inspector General report answered that question, the affirmative, that multiple sources were utilized. And I was simply trying to get to that answer.
What the inspector general came back with was, quote, there is no evidence that the FBI had undercover employees in the various protest crowds or at the Capitol on January 6th.
And there is
no evidence.
There's a huge distinction between undercover employees and sources. I know because I ran them. And anybody in law enforcement knows that, too.
Oh, little Dickie Durbin playing word games. This is exactly what Christopher Wray did. And Christopher Wray refused to answer these questions during his entire term as FBI director. But that's what this is the games they play. Of course, there's no agents in the crowd. The agents are on the radio with the assets / sources / CIs, confidential informants. Of course, there's no agents in the crowd. There's assets in the crowd. And agents controlling the assets. That's the reason why you see suspicious people with earpieces everywhere. These are assets in the crowd hired out of NGOs. Where you see Patriot Front, those are FBI assets. They're not FBI agents. They're not actually federal employees. They're all $37 trillion in debt. Lots of those billions are going to these NGOs. And they're pulling assets out of NGOs. And that's what they're doing. That's what was in the crowd instigating violence, instigating January 6th. And again, I'm very balanced when it comes to January 6th because there was some Trump supporters that did really stupid things there, but they've already paid the price for anything stupid that they did. When you're in jail for 4 years, you've already paid the price. You're good. They should have been in jail. From the worst offenses that I saw, you're talking about an 18-month sentence in normal law enforcement. And I was a cop for 25 years, right where I'm sitting right here, Sarasota County, Florida, 1992, 2017. All right, where am I at? I lost my spot. Big Fish?
Yes, sir.
All right, Big Fish. Cash Patel and Ted Cruz just put the responsibility for January 6th where it belongs. On two people, really three, because you can add Muriel Bowser. Bowser. Didn't sit right suddenly. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Muriel Bowser. Play for me.
What were you doing on that day?
On that day specifically, responding to, preparing to mobilize and deploy the National Guard once we got the lawful request from the local governing authority, which was the mayor of D.C. and the Speaker of the House.
Now, how many days in advance were you working to prepare the Department of Defense to help secure the Capitol on January 6th?
Days in advance, Senator. We were in the Oval Office on an unrelated national security matter with the President of the United States, the Secretary of Defense, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and myself. And the president authorized up to 20,000 plus National Guardsmen and women to secure any security measures necessary related to the Capitol. So we were moving to the fullest extent of the law before the requisite request came from a local governing authority days ahead of time.
And while you were chief of staff at DOD, how many times did DOD approach Capitol Police and ask if they needed National Guard assistance?
I believe those letters are well-documented, numerous instances, and numerous of those instances, those requests were shut down.
Now, am I correct that the Capitol Sergeant-at-Arms said assistance was unnecessary?
That's correct, Senator.
Who did the Sergeant-at-Arms report to?
The Speaker of the House.
That would have been Nancy Pelosi at the time, is that correct?
Yes, Senator.
And would that also be Chuck Schumer, then the Senate Majority Leader?
The Sergeant-at-Arms, yes, Senator, reports up there.
Did Mayor Bowser, the Democrat-elected mayor in D.C., either request or allow National Guard assistance?
She put in writing on the days leading up to January 6th a declination for National Guard additional support, and that letter is available publicly to the world.
So, just to speak English for folks at home, a declination meant she said, no, don't send National Guard. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Let me ask you a simple question, because from the questioning from my Democrat colleagues, they might think otherwise. Do you condemn violence against law enforcement?
All of it.
So for roughly a month before all of this happened, you had Donald Trump reaching out to Nancy Pelosi, saying to her, how many National Guard do you want? It's now proven here. I've been saying 10,000 up to 30,000. 20,000 were authorized. I think that would have made a difference on January 6th to have 20,000 National Guard troops standing there, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Instead of, 2,000 Capitol Police officers there, right? Well, I think it made a little difference. Not to mention they could have set up massive structures so no one could have ever gotten through the bicycle racks. It would have been a little bit more than bicycle racks out there. So you had Nancy Pelosi being reached out to multiple times, along with Chuck Schumer, along with the Sergeant at Arms saying, and Muriel Bowser, the mayor of D.C., do you want the National Guard? They all turned it down. And then when you have the curious coincidence of Nancy Pelosi's daughter being there on January 6th to do a videography of the entire incident. So and on video, while her daughter's shooting, it says, where's the National Guard? And you have Nancy Pelosi, I shouldn't even start talking about this, but Nancy Pelosi making phone calls to Hogan, Larry Hogan, the governor of Maryland, for their National Guard. Glenn Youngkin, well, it wasn't Glenn Youngkin at the time, it was the former governor of he's the abortion guy.
I can't remember his name.
But anyway, former governor of Ralph Northam.
Yep.
Ralph Northam, the former governor of Virginia, she's calling him for his National Guard. This is while this is happening, after she's turned down the DC National Guard. Why isn't she calling the DC National Guard? It's almost as if, which is staged and ready 2 miles away. Two miles away, staged and ready. Why would you call an unstaged, unready Maryland National Guard, which never came, or an unstaged, unready Virginia National Guard, which are hours away, instead of the National Guard staged 2 miles away, that's 10 minutes away, staged and ready? Why would you not call them? It's as if you want there to be a 1-6. And why did Ray Epps call her office four times prior to the incident? Why did that happen four times prior to 1-6? That's weird too, isn't it? Ray Epps, is he one of those FBI assets in the crowd? Abso-freaking-lutely. And it's not that, it's the State Department or the CIA. And they all know it. That's the real world. On that day, he was asked there by Ted Cruz, on that day, Cash Patel, what were you doing? He says, I was readying to deploy the National Guard. Which one? The D.C. one. Well, why wasn't that so easily done? Well, because Mark Milley, I know you've heard this, you watch this podcast all the time. Mark Milley made it impossible to deploy the D.C. National Guard in an expedient manner the day before, on January 5th, which is really unexplainable. Why you would change decades worth of protocol the day before an incident as if you knew an incident was coming, just like Moderna had the vaccine before the illness. Just needed the illness to make billions. Well, Milley made it impossible to deploy the DC National Guard the day before the incident by putting out a memo saying that in order for you to deploy the DC National Guard, you would have to call, you'd have to contact the Secretary of the Army first. But what it used to be for decades and decades and decades before that was you simply called the commander of the DC National Guard and said, we need you now. So what happened the day of is anybody trying to call the Secretary of the Army somehow couldn't get a hold of him for hours. So the DC National Guard was never deployed. That's weird, isn't it? And Nancy Pelosi, by the way, knew about that memo, and she never called the Secretary of the Army to get the DC National Guard. She's calling around acting like she's trying to get the National Guard, but it's the non-applicable National Guard. It's the Maryland and the Virginia. When you have the DC 2 miles from you, it's technically 10 minutes ready to go. 10 minutes away, ready to go. Amazing, isn't it, that all that happened? And of course, the DOD reached out to the Capitol Police, all these heroes, all the Harry Dunn and Aquilino Gunnell, the heroes they were reached out to. And they were asked, do you want the National Guard? They said no. So how much are you a hero when you turn down the help that you needed and your fake injuries? Boy, I got more on 1-6 in this pile. I'd like to get to it right now. Of course, the Sergeant-at-Arms under Nancy Pelosi and under Chuck Schumer also turned down the National Guard. Anybody involved with Pelosi, anybody with a D in front of their name, except for Mitch McConnell, also didn't want the National Guard. Anybody with a D in front of their name, Nancy Pelosi, Chuckie Schumer, or Muriel Bowser, all turned down that which would have stopped 1-6 in its tracks. When you had the D.C. National Guard ready to go, 2 miles away. Two miles away. And that's all you need to do. But Milley made it impossible for you to get a hold of him that day, with a very strange memo release that changed everything, changed all standard protocols from decades prior to the event. Amazing, isn't it? All right, That's 10-18. That's not bad. 10-18 instead of 10-15. All right, Rumble Rants, Texas Billy, $50. Thank you so much. Nate Dad won $20. Big Jim Go Blue, $20. Thank you guys so much in the Rumble Rants. Great numbers tonight. 1,249 people that are watching right now. Appreciate each and every one of you guys. Guys, love you guys in the chat. Really appreciate you being here every night. I really, really do. You don't know how much I do. Stick around for the post game. It's awesome. You're going to love it. No more me yelling at you. Until tomorrow night at 9 o'clock when we are back here again with all the new revelations of whatever happens in the next 24 hours. Love you guys. See you tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you. I'm not talking about those who aren't saved. I'm talking about those who are saved. And I'm even especially talking about those who used to be excited about their walk with God. Maybe those who are saved that have never really been excited. And I'm asking myself, why aren't they excited about Jesus, about their walk with God? And I want to tell you why. Are you ready? The reason why is because you've come in before and you've been lit on fire and you really liked it and you went home and did nothing with it. And then you got lit on fire again, got really excited, and then went home and did nothing with it. You've got to go home and pray, Bible study, worship, and fellowship daily, or it will go out your carnal mind, which is a clanging cymbal, will drown out the love of God.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lively podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.